Mumei, have you ever played yourself some Heavy Rain?
I have, yes.
Oh, how about you, Lachlan?
I played Chocolate Rain.
Chocolate Rain.
I'm talking about a YouTube video, mate. I'm talking about a video game.
It's about the memes, son.
Mumei, would you happen to remember pressing X to Jason?
Jason!
Jason! Well...
Jason!
Now, Jason! If you're playing Stray on PC, there is a mod available...
Oh, no.
Just titled Jason, where it changes the meow button to Jason.
Jason.
Just lucky for you and Jason? For people who don't know.
Where's Schreier?
In
Jason
Schreier. No, it's not a Jason Schreier reference. So basically, in Heavy Rain, at the very start, the main character's child... I believe gets abducted and goes missing, and your character can follow him around. And
that's pretty heavy.
It is very heavy, as is the precipitation in the
His
game.
His first son gets missing in a shopping mall where there's a lot of people, so you're trying to find where Jason is. The second son gets abducted.
That's right, but there's a creepy clown that's around as well too. That sort of just unsettles you. But basically, during that time when you're looking around, there's a prompt that comes up saying to press X to say yell out Jason, and there's about probably 10 different voice lines to say Jason, and it just sounded ridiculous. You know, people just spamming Jason, so it's just Jason, Jason.
There is a real funny glitch that apparently happened in game once, which is very hard to do again. But it happens at the end of the game where instead of saying Jason, he says his other son's name Sean or Sean. And then, like, there's a glitch where
sure.
you can literally say it like in middle of combat, like in middle of the cutscene, and it's like Sean, Sean, like while the main bad guy is talking to you, be like Sean.
If you haven't seen that, Lockie, I 100% recommend looking it up. It has to be one of my favorite glitches of all time, because you know there'll be a moment where your character's just having a conversation, and while someone's just talking to you normally, you're there screaming in their face, Sean, Sean. Oh, it's so good. We have a customer at the video game store. In which, or the store I work at, in which sells video games, and their name is Sean. So every time they come in, I go Sean, and it has never stopped being funny. But yeah, now in Stray, you can press.
I'll have to check it out after Chocolate Rain.
Yes, and I recommend checking it out in Stray as well too, because yeah, pressing circle to Jason and replacing the meow button, it looks hilarious to see the kitty cat there.
Meow.
Looking
meow,
for meow. For its missing kitten.
Meow, meow, meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Meow.
Sean! Hello! Welcome to News to Reviews, your place to be for gaming news stories, and also your place to be for impressions on the latest games coming out each and every week. This week we're actually going to have impressions for a game that's just come out. Holy shit, it feels like it's been so long. Oh, I can't wait to get into it, and I can't wait to get into the news with my co-host, Lockie. Lockie, how you doing?
Meow.
Meow, meow.
Meow, meow, meow. It's a cat week. It's crazy ass cat week. We are all about cats here. I can't wait for the mod that comes out in Stray where they get the meows from the cat's movie. Especially where he goes meow. they intercut cat's movie sound bites. I just can't wait for the mods that will come as a result of
And we're having a guest on this week who I suspect can do a quite the sexy meow sound themselves. Mumei! I don't know why I'm...
Meow May.
...tation on you. Yeah, Meow May. Meow May. Yes, look.
I am totally not Jason. I'm totally not that Jason.
How's it going, Mumei? Thanks so much for joining us.
I am doing not too bad today. Just another day on Sunday with two sexy gentlemen in front of me our chat.
You were too kind, Mume. I'm so pumped to have you on the show. I think, oh my God, you've more than earned it, attempting to carry me through Returnal
over the last
6 or 7 weeks. I can't imagine how frustrated you must be getting at this point. I'm getting secondhand anxiety for you just thinking about how stressful it must be having to play Returnal with me. So I very much appreciate that, Mume.
Stop dying on me, man. I can't get near the boss without you dying on me.
Oh, it's rough. Oh, the VODs are there. I'm not hiding the evidence of how terrible I am at Returnal, but oh dear. Speaking of VODs,
I've jumped in a couple of times, and I got to say, Zach.
I know, it's bad.
Yeah, Mume is pulling a lot of the weight on those runs.
And the same time where I am also, doing challenges as well, so when people, spend points on me to be like, oh, I can't dash. Oh, I can't use this. I have to use a new weapon. I can't use my healing items or anything like that. I'm like, guys.
Oh, yeah. It's not easy for you at all, Mume. But tell everyone where they can find all your wonderful content and your streams and all that great stuff that you do.
Ah, easy enough. You can always find me on planet Earth somewhere. I won't say where. But, easily you can find me. I am mostly active during Twitch. So find me on Twitch.com/Mume101 or /.tv/Mume101. So Mumei 101. I also have a lot of socials on the same name, so you can easily find it. I'm quite active on Instagram, where I can't speak right now. Mumei 101 on Instagram. That will pretty much show you all my photography that I do in my spare time, which I like to go to conventions and take a lot of cool, fabulous photos, and maybe edit them a lot to make them fancier.
Oh yeah, that your photos are absolutely fantastic, Mume. You're a massive talent. I absolutely love your Instagram page. All of these links will be in the description of the show down below. I recommend if you want to see some cosplayers in some insane outfits with the shots you take are just absolutely stunning, Mume. Definitely get amongst it. And he's entertaining as fuck as a streamer as well, too. I recommend checking out his Twitch channel. And something that I find entertaining as fuck is when I get to stream with Mume. We've been streaming a bit of Returnal, as we mentioned before. I don't know if we'll do it this week because I haven't practiced at all. And I don't want to keep putting you through the same torture that I'm putting you through. I want to wait till I can get some practice in. And then I feel like I've done my due diligence and then it's not so much you carrying me the entire game.
It's just when I played a game, I was like, oh, my back is so sore from all this.
You're gonna get back problems. You're gonna need a back brace. But on a Wednesday at 6:30 PM Australian Eastern Standard Time, I am still continuing my stream of Until Dawn, and it continues to be even without having the camera there, which is a disappointment. I can't do it on camera, thanks to how streaming Until Dawn works directly through the PlayStation. But it's such a fun game, and I'm just having an absolute blast streaming it. It has been so much fun. So yeah, if you want to check out Until Dawn and want to listen to me talk some shit while we play through it, then jump on in. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, it's an absolute blast. I like pulling it up on my 4K TV because there's a Twitch streaming app on the TV itself, so you get really nice quality resolution upscaled. And it's just, yeah, it's such a nice looking game. It's one of those games that you do want streamed on there. It's a bloody interesting story too. It's nothing, you know, that you're going to go, oh, that's the smartest thing I've ever seen. But it's just interesting, exciting. It keeps throwing new stuff at you. It's very episodic where you can get through. It's not like The Quarry at all, where you really need to just play it in one sitting to get through it. Oh. Whereas this one, you can just stop and go, yeah, that was fucking awesome. I wonder what happens next.
And I'm so excited to talk about it on the show and impressions, but I'm going to wait until next week when I reckon this stream will probably be the last one, or if not, there might be one more after that. But I'm sure I'm getting close to the end. Yeah. So yeah, look forward to that next week on the show. And yeah, if you like the show, be sure to leave us a rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to the show, because that's the best way you can help us get into the ears of more people. We've got a fun week of news to get to. I'm going to say fun because we got some shit to talk about. How about we get jumping on into the gaming news, guys?
Let's go.
Our first story comes out of UbiShocks or UbiSucks or UbiShit or UbiSoft, whatever name you want to use. I don't know what's going on over there at Ubisoft. They are just, in my opinion, my personal opinion, and with the kind of games that I like, I feel like they are just absolutely floundering at the moment. And they've just announced that their Avatar Frontiers of Pandora game, in an earnings call recently, they announced that it's going to be delayed from this year until 2023-2024. Now, Mume, did you remember that Avatar Frontiers of Pandora even existed, let alone was coming out this year? Because I know I didn't.
I didn't realize they were coming out this year. Like, I did see the trailer of what they're having. But as Ubisoft as they are, they don't seem to know what they're doing at the moment.
I think that was more of an update to their shareholders where they're like, oh, we actually did commit to these timelines, but we're pushing it out.
Don't remember them putting a 2022 date on, and they've showed so little as well too, and what they've shown is so apparently they're delaying it because they want to make it perfect. So all right.
I mean, you know, they should just blame the they're probably not doing that because that's a bad look, but it's probably at least somewhat to do with the fact that Avatar 2 hasn't come out yet, and that was promised like 1,000 years ago. Well, so
isn't that this year though? Like, wouldn't they want it to?
Yeah, it's coming out soon. It's coming out soon, right? But until they have the movie, and they need to make sure that they don't, I don't know. I'm just spitballing here, but I'm assuming that they want to make sure that they don't reveal anything too quickly. So they either have like a list of how of what they can and introduce into it on this side or not. And they've decided, we're actually revealing all of this content otherwise, so we're going to wait and we need to build it. Or maybe because the movie, I'm just also theorizing here, has probably done several reshoots and rewrites over the course of the last decade of what was originally planned, that they keep having to course correct and then redesign graphically to integrate the new stuff. This is speculation. Yeah, I don't think we'll ever truly find out, but anyway.
Look, all I know is I just don't know what the fuck is happening at Ubisoft. So
it's going to be Ubisoft game. It's going to break.
It's not going to launch well. I think it's being made by the same team who does The Division.
So they're going to use. It's going to be made by Massive, and it's going to be. I am assuming they're going to use their engine that they use for the game.
Which is a nice engine, but one of the things
it is a nice engine, but poorly optimized.
It's not a nice engine. It's extremely poorly optimized, and it doesn't even support fucking DLSS. Fuck it.
And not to mention that as far as traversal in the Division games have gone, it's always been just your characters just jogging around. If I'm playing an Avatar game, I'd want to be able to be flying on the beast and riding animals. Like, traversal should be a massive point of that. So it's a weird team to pick to do an Avatar game, but it sounds to me like they probably just want to do a live service game, so that's why they've picked them. But on top of them delaying Avatar, they've also cancelled 4 games. 2 of those games they hadn't even announced yet. The other 2 are Ghost Recon Frontline, which is a free-to-play battle royale.
Oh, that's fine.
Ghost
I don't
Recon,
give a fuck
yeah,
about that.
100%. And Splinter Cell VR. So I remember on the show talking about this.
Yeah, no, don't give 2 fucks about that either.
Or being like, oh, we're finally getting that Splinter Cell game that Ubisoft's
done with Tom Clancy titles. I'm done with the franchise. I've barely played any of the games today, but every time I do, it's always like this weird, cheap experience.
So basically, all that Ubisoft has coming up is apparently Beyond Good and Evil 2 hasn't been cancelled yet. Magically, that game is still apparently happening. Yep. They've got fucking Skull and Bones coming out the day before God of War Ragnarok.
So you mean Assassin's Creed Black Flag 1.5?
Yeah, exactly. Or just 0.5.
Wow, like, one day like, before God like, of War they don't Ragnarok, even have it's the... going to get directly contrasted, and it's going to get absolutely shat on.
AC4 yep. without
I mean,
without
I'm speculating. Maybe God of War's going to be a dud, but I don't think it will be, and I think... Yeah, it's going to be a very stark contrast.
I'll be, mate, I will eat a full entire piece of my own shit if Skull and Bones comes out and ends up being a better game than God of War Ragnarok. Yeah. I'll happily do that. No worries.
That would be interesting to see.
It's Assassin's Creed without the Assassin's Creed in it. It's just a ship combat, like one of the slowest aspects
Black Flag.
From the game.
It's just Black Flag stripped down.
Yeah, So they've. I did not know what's going on at Ubisoft. Then they got there's rumors of the next Assassin's Creed game, which is going to be called Rift, but it's not going to be a full game. It's going to be sort of like Dawn of Ragnarok. Length, you know, 20-30 hours or something, and apparently it's going to be set in the Middle East, possibly Baghdad. So, which for me is just like we've been there and done that. We've done a lot of the Middle East over the years in Assassin's Creed, so they'd want to have a good reason to go back there if they're going to. Like, there's so many other interesting time periods and places to explore. I don't understand why we're going to that well again. And then there's rumors of Japanese one as well too, which, you know, I think could have been interesting before Ghost of Tsushima existed, but apparently that's going to be part of Assassin's Creed Infinity, which is their live service Assassin's Creed that's rumored to be coming over the next few years.
That sounds like a good place to stick that.
Possibly the best thing that would have been the best setting, I reckon, possible for Assassin's Creed, and they're going to make it just part of their live service one. I don't know, man. Ubisoft is just... normally they have at least something in the works that I'm excited for. This is the first time I've ever had it that just nothing that Ubisoft is doing at all is interesting me in the slightest. Like, even if they announce another Far Cry, after playing through Far Cry 6, I have no excitement whatsoever. I might play it, maybe, like probably end up playing it, but just I couldn't give a shit anymore. They've just destroyed any any interest I've had in any of their stuff.
What this suggests to me is that they're running at a loss, and they're trying to scale back on all of the non-mobile gaming platforms because they want to just hunker down and make a shit ton of money. Which is basically what every gaming industry is doing at the moment. So, you know, you can't really blame them on that. Bit of a shame for us, though, if we're expecting and hoping for a good single player title coming up. So, I'm genuinely worried from that standpoint because I love games in the single player space. I can't fucking stand MMOs and I can't fucking stand mobile-based gaming. So I have a strong feeling that it's going to be very limited quality products coming for a consumer such as myself.
Mume, do you have any excitement at all for anything Ubisoft has coming up?
Not really. Literally the last game I played from Ubisoft was like, I did play... maybe a good 500 hours of Division 2 when I first picked it up.
I bought the
game maybe at $4.50, and I'm like, that's a lot of hours for that. The last game I officially bought from Ubisoft was God of Monsters. Actually, sorry, no, not God of Monsters. Immortal Phoenix Rising. I forgot they changed that name.
they changed it to Immortal Phoenix Rising.
Phoenix Rising, yes. And what?
No, they spelled it Phoenix.
Do you know the real funny thing about this? I was like, ever in my life, ever since I played an Ubisoft game, I'm like, is it me or this game is actually polished? It is one of the most polished games I've seen on an Ubisoft game.
Immortals Phoenix Rising. Yeah, I agree. Yes. Compared to their other outputs, for sure. God, Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
When I was playing it, I'm like, wait, they made a polished game? No, that can't be right. It's like, what did they do?
You know what? If Cyberpunk hadn't have come out that same year, Assassin's Creed Valhalla would easily have been the most broken game I played that entire year. That was buggy as fuck. It was like Skyrim levels of buggy.
But Bethesda is like it's their mechanics. Is their core mechanics is the bugs.
Yeah, that's their greatest feature.
It's a feature
they turned their weakness into their greatest strength because it's all memeable. But the I don't know. I whenever I think back to Valhalla, I know it's fun to shit on Valhalla, but it was an all right game. Like it had some good stuff in there. It was a really good looking game if you could play it on a not on shitbox console, of course, but if you played it on a decent PC, it looked fucking incredible. Where it fell apart was the narrative, and it had a really strong start, and then it just meandered for the next 20 hours and then wrapped itself up in this batshit crazy story. You're like, and you're thinking to yourself the whole time, how did we get here? And then when the ending happens, you're so confused and wondering, is it over yet? Did that end? Where's the credits? Why isn't it rolled credits? Does this mean I need to do something? No. And then you go online and then you go and you find out, no, that was the ending. So, yeah, really strong start, just really great stuff in there, but they just, I don't know, they just didn't fucking, Zach, to your point, polish. They're missing good polish.
Oh, yeah. So, who knows, maybe Ubisoft will change all of our minds in September when the next Ubisoft Forward event comes around, but I seriously fucking doubt it.
just wait till they get bought by Microsoft, it will be fine.
Oh, and speaking of Microsoft, Xbox.
Oh, good segue.
Has now integrated Discord with it. So not like the integration that existed already, where basically if you're, like what they have with PlayStation, if you're playing a game on Discord, it'll say, oh, so-and-so's currently playing this or that. Now, with Xbox, it's actually...
Hang on, is that a paradox or something? Integrating Discord. bringing Discord together, harmonizing Discord.
I think you're onto something, Lockie.
They're opposites. It's redundant terms. What's that called? It's not paradox. It's something, though.
It's like a Zenyatta main from Overwatch. The Discord and Harmony.
So basically now on Xbox, you can use Discord as your primary chat. So rather than having to use Xbox chat, like how on PlayStation you have to use the PlayStation chat system if you're talking through that, you can just use Discord. So say if they had it on PlayStation, Mume, if you and I were going to play Returnal, you'd be able to just do it normally and just record your chat through Discord, and then I'd be able to use Discord as well too and stream from there. And
it would be so much better, is because like every time I talk to you, it's like the chat's terrible to use. especially when I'm trying to stream through my PC as well. I'm like, just the so many loopholes I have to play around just to get to speak and hear you on two different mics. It's not fun.
It's really a disaster. Like, it's just another example of Xbox and Microsoft being just way ahead of PlayStation with just everything right now. When it comes to, other stuff we'll get into in our next story. Lockie, what's your opinion on Discord being able to use that now on Xbox?
Oh, I stopped paying attention. I'm looking up that word that I'm trying to figure out. It's not paradox, but it's close.
I think I know what you're talking about. It is similar
paradox.
To that. Mume, yeah. You're keen to hear about Discord integration on console.
To be honest with you, I think just having it on all different places is always good, because Discord is like the bigger. It's one of the biggest platforms to use for communications and such. So if you have it on Xbox and PlayStation, and hopefully Switch down the line, hopefully it'd be good.
Yeah, I totally agree. Discord's massive now. Like, it used to be very much a gamers kind of a thing, but now all kinds of places will use it. There's like a YouTuber like David Pakman who does like news segments and stuff. He uses Discord for all his chat and whatnot, and for people to call in. H3 Podcast uses Discord for all that stuff as well too. I dig Discord. It's a good service, but unfortunately I don't know why. Zoom seems to deal better with internet issues and stuff. So we use Zoom for recording this podcast, because Lockie's internet is fucking awful. But yeah. But more examples of Microsoft being ahead. Now, PlayStation have started doing a 7-day free trial of the PS Plus extra tiers in the UK and Europe. So if you're in the UK and Europe right now, you have to still have to put down a credit card, like how other free trials work. And if, you know, if it goes over that 7 days, you're going to have to pay the first month or however you decide to set up your subscription of that service. But yeah, you're able to give PS Plus extra and premium, whatever the next thing is called over there, a try for nothing, which I think is a good thing. But Xbox lets you try Game Pass for $1 for 3 fucking months. Like, yes, they have to take some of your money, of course, but it's $1 and you get to try it for 3 months rather than, you know, signing up for a service for a week where you're probably not even going to have enough time to complete a game. And you have to also remember to remind yourself to unsub so you're not going to end up getting charged for that subscription when it comes around as well too, which people who've ever signed up for a 7-day free trial.
That's how they get you.
Those are the most likely ones that are going to get you, the 7-day ones. It's just too quick a turnaround.
So if you try to go for the trials and all that, that's where a lot of the companies get you. Because some people don't forget, they always forget to unsub and then they get hit by the next month's sub.
Big time. What do you think of Sony starting to introduce this free trial for the PS Plus tiers, Mume?
I think it's obviously competition for the Game Pass, hands down. Because Sony wants to get to, well, surely Sony wants to try and earn more money from these type of deals. It's like from out of Sony's being like, what, $70, $80 billion company against a $1 trillion company? Oof. Mm-hmm. They need to pick up their game.
Yeah.
But they have, I remember they did say about that. That's why, like, well, it's like, why don't you put like your first parties on there, your first party games on the subscription? They obviously says, well, we're obviously not, you guys are going to buy regardless. So they're trying to get the max profit out of it.
Absolutely. Like, it just makes no sense to me why they're coming at Microsoft, who have a cheaper service that's more simple to sign up to and everything, and offers more games and first-party games day one as well. Well, actually, I think technically...
Oxymoron!
The word
I was looking for was oxymoron, and that's our word of the day. Oxymoron! Yay! Zach, make sure you insert all the noise here. Okay. Sorry about that. Let's continue on. My brain is now clear. I can now absorb new. All right.
I feel like an oxymoron myself for not thinking of that word with emphasis on the moron. Lockie.
Let's get some oxy later.
Lockie, what do you think of the PS Plus tier free trial in the UK and Europe? 7 days.
There's a free trial? There's a free trial.
Seven day free trial.
Free?
That's good. I think that's really good. Yeah, free. I'm going to guess it's one of those free trials where you got to give them the credit card subscription. And if you forget, you're in. Which is fine. I mean, look, that's no different to any other trial-based system on the internet. So I don't like it, but that's the world we live in. And it's good that people get an opportunity to try before they buy. It's up to them as to whether or not they cancel. Look, in terms of quality, I picked up the PS Plus Extra because I saw a couple of game titles in there, and it was only going to cost me like $15 to get the next 3 months' worth. So I've upgraded for that coverage because I think that's pretty fair. So I think that's good. Anytime people get opportunities to try before they buy.
Look, I agree. I think it's good that they are introducing this, but I just don't think it's enough when Xbox offers 3 months for $1. Not to mention, I tried it for 3 months for $1. Great serve. Oh, some games didn't work the greatest on PC. I hear it works far better on Xbox. But then randomly, about a month ago, for some reason, it allowed me to do that same deal again. So I've managed to get 6 months worth of Game Pass for $2 throughout this year, which is just ridiculous value.
Hey, abuse the system.
Now, granted, Sony Sony service does have more games on it. There's like 400 games or something on PS Plus Extra. But, you know, a lot of those games are like shit you'd never want to play in a million years, like Balan Wonderworld and shit like that. Oh, yeah. There is some trash.
Well, I don't know about you, but I had a great time playing Balan. No, it was awful. It gave me a massive headache.
I feel like it'd be some ironic fun, though, kind of like The Room of video games kind of a thing.
Exactly. It's a good hate play game, yeah.
you say that and be like, I was like, oh, it's like The Room. No, it's just bad. It's just bad. It is bad as bad.
The problem is with The Room, you can watch The Room and you're not physically in pain afterwards, whereas Balan's Underworld, I had a migraine that lasted for almost a whole day off the back of playing that game for an hour. Yeah. Like, it's just a lot.
No, look, I end up signing up for PS Plus Extra as well too, only because it already had Demon's Souls on there, so I just went down to my local EB Games. Yeah, bargain. Traded in Demon's Souls, paid the $50, bought some PlayStation credit, then paid the $50 difference that I needed to get PS Plus Extra for a year. I would not recommend doing that unless you had a game that you knew you wanted to play, and I knew I wanted to play Demon's Souls. And so far, like, I've only used it for Stray. Oh, dear. I just think it's a decent service, but it just pales in comparison to Game Pass. Like, it's a more expensive service. There just isn't enough on there at the moment. And Game Pass has the benefit of being on PC as well too, whereas this is just on PlayStation. I don't know. I think Sony needs to figure their shit out with this. Like, they need to make the service cheaper. Or just offer need to offer more value some way. It'd be good to see if they did some kind of $1 for a month or something like that, like what Xbox does. But yeah. Anyway, if you're in Europe, give it a try. But hey, going from something like that to the favorite thing we have to talk about on this podcast, NFTs. It's time for our NFT segment.
Never. No fucking thanks.
Fucking trust it. That's right. No fucking thanks is the far better one that SkillUp came up with.
or NFTs, NF please. See, that one can't be written. It doesn't work. It's
You're
all
right.
About delivery.
All right, you guys ready to feel the block pain? Oh yeah, reference to last week's episode. Now, we've got some bad news in the NFT sphere and some good news in the NFT sphere. I'll start with the bad news. We'll start with the bad and then we'll soften that blow with the happy stuff. So Square Enix announced when they purchased Crystal Dynamics and those couple of other studios, when they sold them, that the reason why they were selling them is so they could focus on other things like their IPs being developed in Japan and their NFT projects. And now it seems like that we've finally got to figure out what their first sort of NFT project is. They are releasing a special 25th anniversary edition of Cloud Strife from the Final Fantasy series. People will be very familiar with. He's got to be the most popular of the characters. And that figure is going to come with an NFT as well. So you're going to get a digital copy of that figure as an NFT.
Not my precious spiky anime emo kid.
Oh no, Mumei, does this destroy your childhood?
As someone who plays the game, I don't really care much for it. But I am really enjoying my Final Fantasy, as I like to keep on telling you to play 14 with me.
You can keep trying, Mume. I don't know if that's ever going to happen. It's just too... I'm not into MMOs in the first place. Yeah, so MMO plus
it's
JRPG.
MMO
it's like two things that I can't get into wrapped up into one. I'm sorry, yeah. Mume. You and Andrew and all the... pretty much all the Inconsolables,
all
I think, other
cool
than
kids.
Sam.
Yeah.
Get away.
Yeah. They all play it.
Yeah, all the cool kids are into it. We're the boomers. Except Zach has never played a Nintendo 64, so he's... an anomaly.
I had a PlayStation.
I could call myself a boomer as well because I did used to own the original NES and Master System back in the day.
Hey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, badass.
Bloody oath. Lockie, what do you think about cloud being an NFT?
I wasn't paying attention. Are we talking about Cloud Strife from Final Fantasy VII?
Yep, so they're selling a figure, a 25th anniversary figure, and it comes with a digital NFT.
Is it life size?
The NFT? I don't know if you've got a screen big enough, probably.
Yeah, no. If the cloud figure is life sized and all of the appendages are completely in proper models, then I'm interested. Otherwise, they can fuck off with their bullshit.
I prefer a PNG over a JPEG. Thanks.
I just want to know how big Cloud's dick is. That's all I want to know. I don't even find him particularly attractive. I'm just curious.
Does he have to be pitching a tent, or is it okay for him to just be normal?
Oh, he can be smaller. I just want to know. I just want to know. There's no judgment. I just really want to know. It's just an inch that I scratched.
Oh dear. Well, hey, like, at least you are getting an actual physical thing with this. It's not just the NFT you're getting, but oh my god, it just grosses me out. They sold one of the best companies, like, developers today. Like, Crystal Dynamics are fantastic. Maybe just forgetting about the recent Marvel's Avengers game, though a lot of people could blame that on Square Enix's management, how that game went. So yeah, to know that this is the fruits of their labor, yeah, great job. You're selling a JPEG with your fucking figure. Good job.
I still find it funny is that, like, I think a day or two after they sold their companies, just the whole NFT market just crashed. Like, well, you guys did so well.
Very, very good business acumen there, Square Enix. Now, but our good news as far as NFTs are concerned, the staff over at Minecraft have made a statement about their where they stand on NFTs. So
this is a good thing, by the way.
This is a quote from the Minecraft staff. Quote, some companies have recently launched NFT implementations that are associated with Minecraft word files and skin packs. Other examples of how NFTs and blockchain could be utilized with Minecraft include creating Minecraft collectible NFTs, allowing players to earn NFTs through activities performed on a server, or any Minecraft NFT rewards for activities outside the game. Each of these uses of NFTs and other blockchain technologies creates digital ownership based on scarcity and exclusion, which does not align with Minecraft values of creative inclusion and playing together. Fuck yeah, Minecraft. NFTs are not inclusive of all of our community and create a scenario of the haves and the have-nots. The speculative pricing and investment mentality around NFTs takes the focus away from playing the game and encourages profiteering, which we think is inconsistent with the long-term joy and success of our players. We are also concerned that some third-party NFTs may not be reliable and may end up costing players who buy them. Fuck yeah, they would. Some third-party NFT implementations are also entirely dependent on blockchain technology and have also been instances where NFTs were sold at artificially or fraudulently inflated prices. We recognize that creation inside our game has intrinsic value, and we strive to provide a marketplace where those values can be recognized. As such, to ensure that Minecraft players have a safe and inclusive experience, blockchain technologies are not permitted to be integrated inside our Minecraft client and server applications, nor may they be utilized to create NFTs associated with any in-game content, including worlds, skins, persona items, or other mods. We'll also be paying close attention to how blockchain technology evolves over time to ensure that the above principles are withheld and determine whether it will allow for more secure experiences or other practical inclusion applications in gaming. However, we have no plans on implementing blockchain technology into Minecraft right now. Oh, God. I should have read the whole statement before I got too excited. Because they fucking left the door open at the end. Oh, my God, Minecraft. Oh, Mume, what do you think of Minecraft's statement? That was supposed to be a good one. Oh.
It's like, death to the NFTs. Oh, we're still having doors open. Wait, what?
Oh, dear. Does it give you any hope at all, though, Mume, that Minecraft, at least for now, has rejected it?
I don't play Minecraft, so I don't really care.
Okay, fair. How about you, Lockie?
I don't give two fucks about Minecraft or NFTs.
Well, that's the beauty of this, though. Like, look, whether you care about Minecraft or not, it is one of the biggest dicks in the games industry. It is huge. It's sold more copies than almost any other game ever.
Is it bigger than Klaus Dick?
I'd say so. It is ridiculously huge.
Cloud doesn't need to have a big dick, all right? I just want to put that out there. In fact, if anything, I'm probably going to be scared off if it's too big.
Yeah, I think his sword might be overcompensating.
Yeah, I would prefer Cloud to be small on the smaller to medium side.
Good to know. People out there, take notes. Yeah, look, I think just Minecraft being as big as it is, it's good to see they've rejected NFTs at least for now. But yeah, I find it super disappointing that they can't just definitively say no and they have to be like, oh, but maybe one at one point. Like, come on, fuck yous. Like, really? You're Microsoft. Do you not have enough money? Anyway, that'll do us for our NFT.
Everybody wants more money.
Yeah, it can't end. Due to capitalism, it just has to go forever. But that'll do us for our NFT segment. I'm sorry to get yous hyped up for a win there as far as NFTs were concerned. I should have read through that entire statement. But look, I chalk that up to sort of a win. It's good that such a big company has rejected them, at least for now. And so long as they continue to stay not relevant as they have, then hopefully that'll continue to happen in the future. But something that's relevant, a game's coming up in the next week. They're always relevant. They're not even here yet. So they got to be. Captain Velvet Meteor. Wait, sorry. Let me try that again. I put the semicolon in the wrong place. Captain Velvet Meteor, The Jump Dimensions. Fucking what a title is coming in a Nintendo Switch July 28th. Digimon Survive is coming to PS4, Xbox One, PC, and Nintendo Switch July 29th. Also July 29th is RimWorld Console Edition. And also July... July 29th also... Fuck, that's this week! Xenoblade Chronicles 3! I don't think there's anyone here excited about that at all, is there? Maybe? I don't know, possibly?
Oh, big time.
I am totally not so excited for this game. Let's go!
So yeah, that's it for all the games coming up in the next week. But yeah, holy shit, Xenoblade 3, what a heavy hitter. There's a lot of Switch users out there who'd be pumped for that. Lockie, how excited are you?
I'm so excited because I only just saw the trailer, I think, drop for me. I don't know when it came out. It probably came out 1,000 years ago, but I only just saw it maybe 2 weeks ago and I thought, holy fuck. I'm really digging in the direction they're going in with this. It looks like they're going more for a Xenoblade 1 type feel where it's more about mech warriors and human characters, a little less... You know, a little softened in the fantasy, a little bit more sci-fi type focus. And I just loved the premise. I thought it was so... How do you put it? It's hitting you in the right feels where you've got all these people and they're stuck in this world where they've got very limited time. So every minute counts to them. And I am just completely for it. It just... reeled me in hook, line, and sinker. I already care about these characters. I can't wait. I haven't even seen the gameplay, but I'm just going to trust that it'll be good.
You can definitely say you're really feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh,
he gets a reference.
I'm completely clueless. I'm guessing that's a Xenoblade 2 reference or something.
Xenoblade 1 Shook says that a lot during combat. Be like, I'm really feeling it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear. So you share, you're feeling it as well, Mume.
Fuck yeah. Definitely. Because, like, I've been streaming Xenoblade 1 and 2 on stream on Twitch. And I'm like, oh, when they announced the third one, I'm like, let's go.
Oh, bloody oath. I'm excited for you guys. As I've mentioned on the show many times before, JRPGs just are not for me. I've tried them many a time, but I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys think about it later on. I'm always excited to hear people excited about games. So, yeah, fuck yeah. Tune in next week to hear Lockie's thoughts on Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Fucking oath. I want to check out Captain Velvet Meteor just purely for the name alone. Captain Velvet Meteor? Like, what the fuck? I'm picturing like a sexy superhero from outer space, like a sexy Green Lantern or something like that. Sexy which was already Green Lantern. Ryan Reynolds, so someone would probably argue that is just a sexy superhero from out of space. But just that name just gets me. It's a tactical adventure game. Oh, well, I'm already out because I don't like tactical games. But yeah, hey, if you're picking up the Switch, oh, it's a Japanese title as well too. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Bizarre. Anyway, that'll do us for the Huzzah. Games coming up in the next week. Let's take a brief break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Oh, except for you, Lockie, you're gonna be jumping on out, aren't you?
Yep. Sorry, I'm gonna have to duck out.
All is good.
Did you want to sneak your words of wisdom in here before we go to impressions?
Words of wisdom, if you're short on time, live chatting with different storefronts and sending screenshots during podcasts is a great way to make savings if you're looking to pick up expensive tablets.
Oh, and word of the day is oxymoron. Let's
I am so regretful that I'm not going to be able to get into the cat stuff. I got in a few cat puns, so I've got something. But just really quickly, it was Stray, released by Annapurna. All right,
you got that joke in there, Lockie. Bloody oath. And yeah, let's take a brief break and then we'll jump back on in with the games that we've been playing. Moomay, you are our guest, and it has become tradition on the show for our guest to get us kicked off with impressions. What have you been playing this week, my friend?
Hang on, let me bring up my big list. Forget the giant roll of games I've been playing. No, but of course, Zach wants me to make it small, so I'll be happy to take his wish. So, all right. So, of course, the game that I've been playing a lot on stream during my weekdays is the League of Legends RPG game, Ruined King. So, okay. I quite enjoy that game. It's quite fun to play. As I said, it is done as like an RPG, like JRPG game. So, you have a total of number of six characters you can play as. Who the characters are? Of course, Ahri's in there because, like, of course, she's like the poster girl of the game.
Okay.
You got Ahri, you got, I forgot his name again now. Ilaoi, I think her name was. Ilaoi?
Yeah.
So she's your healer of the game. You got Yasuo, you got Braum. Braum I like playing fun with. He's a pretty cool character.
Okay.
And who's that other character? Pike. Pike was the other one. Yeah, so there's six characters.
So it's an RPG set in the League of Legends universe. Oh, yes. No, I feel like we have talked a long time ago on the show. I think we might have talked about this one. So, does it play like League of Legends, the game? Like, is it a similar style of combat?
No, completely different. It's
okay.
It's an RPG, true and foremost. Not a, but they try to throw in some. They try to throw some mechanics into the League of Legends. I haven't played League, so I can't give you a brief example.
Okay.
But in the game, you have a, on the bottom of the screen, you have a little, like a little line of some sort, like a little rectangle square. And you can choose, it's kind of your ATB meter, pretty much. So whoever is like the most furthest on the left side, you'll know that's who is going to attack first. So it moves from right to left. So all the pictures that appears on the bottom there. They will show you who's going to attack first and all that. So once you get to the far end, you can choose. So you can choose your instant abilities, which they will be used straight away. Or you can use your like abilities that requires time to cast. Then
okay, so it's kind of like the MMO combat then. Really?
No, nothing like that. No.
Oh, okay. I'm completely off.
It's got no MMO combat whatsoever. So the game acquires it has like your old like JRPG tropes, where if you're trying to cast a spell, and it will move your character across the bar. It'd be like, okay, this is how long it's gonna take us to cast the spell.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, they also give you they can allow you to choose three lanes. So you have your speed, balance, and power lane. And of course, if you want to, you can choose one of the three. So if you want to go speed, the attack is weak, but it takes quicker to cast.
Okay.
And some abilities in the game that you can modify your characters. So they have a bit of build diversity, which is good, which I like about games where they have build diversity. Oh, you see all my builds in Division 2, though. Oh, they're so dumb.
Okay.
But yeah, so you can do builds. Like, say, example, if you play this ability in your power lane, you might do maybe bleed damage on top of your normal attack.
Okay. All right. So, but your normal attacking, though, is it like button presses or?
No. Okay. It's command inputs.
Okay. But isn't that how MMOs play? Isn't it literally command inputs and countdown timers to use abilities? Isn't that? I thought that's how. Maybe I haven't played an MMO in a long time.
No. The old deal MMOs is that if you have an ability that requires a cast time, then your character will cast and then use it straight away. Once the bar fills up.
Okay.
Now, because in this one here it's not a bar, but it's just like a tiny rectangle on the bottom of the screen, tells you who's gonna attack first.
Oh, okay. So is it turn based then?
Yes, it's turn based. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So that's where I've gotten confused. Okay. So turn based combat. Okay. Interesting. What is it that's drawing you in about the Ruined King? Is it the gameplay? Is it the story? Or is it all
the gameplay? Okay. Obviously, gameplay.
Yep. The story's no good.
It's generic. Nothing too fancy.
Okay.
It's just the whole thing is like, some guy released this evil king who's he's gone corrupted, and now we just have to save this area before they get corrupted by this mist and something that's going to engulf the seas, pretty much.
Okay. So what is it about this turn based gameplay that has you more interested over other turn based games?
I'm just a big sucker for the company who makes the game, the Airship Syndicate.
Okay.
I've pretty much bought all of their games that they released.
Is there anything else they do that I'd know?
They made Darksiders Genesis, if you heard of that one.
Oh, yeah. I heard that one was awful. I'm thinking of Darksiders 3. Sorry, my apologies.
Hey, Darksiders 3 was all right because the game plays like a Dark Souls.
Yeah, it's like a Dark Souls, but not good.
I still enjoyed it. People have different opinions on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like all the Darksiders games have like a different style of playing. So it's not like the sequels and such, but each of these games are pretty much takes place nearly the same time as the characters you play as.
Okay.
So the first game you play as War, and then Darksiders 2 literally takes place literally in the same time as Darksiders 1, but you play as Death instead.
Yeah.
And then the third one you play as Fury.
And Genesis was more of a Diablo-style RPG, right?
I wouldn't say it has a top-down angle, but it doesn't play like Diablo. So there's no looter shooter.
Okay.
But you can play the Fourth Horseman, which is Strife, or you can play as War. And you can switch between during in the game, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and that game was well liked. Okay, so
yeah.
So how have you found the Ruined King to be in the pantheon of what were they called? Airship.
So the company is made by Airship Syndicate.
Airship Syndicate, that's right. Yeah. How would you say that this fits into the pantheon of their games? Is it would it be up there for you?
Like I said, I enjoy their games. Every time they bring out a new game, I'll wait for one of their like discounted price games and I'll pick it up.
Yeah. So, but is this one of your favorites of theirs, or would you say this falls somewhere in the middle?
The game is almost a reskin of their first game, which is called Battle Chasers Nightfall, which the game plays exactly the same, but it has a league skin to it.
Okay.
But they tried to change up a little bit to make it different to that game.
Yeah.
So it's still a pretty fun game. Other ways.
Okay, nice. The Ruined King. How have you found the voice acting and the music and the sound to be so far?
Oh, the music is actually all right, though. There's some nice songs when you're in combat, though.
Yep.
Voice acting, well, like I said, I haven't Oh, they got Liam O'Brien in there, so that's definitely my my only positive.
Okay, where's Liam O'Brien from?
Well, he's a voice actor, of course. He does voice War in the Darksiders games.
Oh, okay, nice.
Who else does he voice? He does animes as well.
Yep.
Trying to get an idea where he's popular at all, but I just know him through his War. But yeah. I know he has done other voices. Like you, he's got a very distinctive voice, so you will know his voice though when you hear him.
Oh, okay, fair enough. So how many hours have you put in yet? Do you think you're close to finishing?
I don't know about close to finishing, but I can quickly find out in Steam. Where are you? I play total of 25 hours so far.
Okay, and like, so do you feel like you're about midway, or like, getting close to the end? Or?
I think I'm more past halfway. That's for sure.
Yep. Okay. Nice.
Bear with me for a second. I might have to quickly grab something. I'll be right back.
No, all good.
Don't mind me. Just food just arrived.
No, all good. No stress. So I looked up Liam O'Brien while you were just going to go get your Uber Eats. And not sponsored, by the way. And basically, yeah, he's been in everything. Like, he's in Final Fantasy. He's been in... Oh, so he's in Critical Role. Oh, okay. So people would know him from Critical Role. You got Guild Wars. Obviously, the Ruined King, which we're talking about now. He's been in... he's going to be in Star Wars Bad Batch. He was in Near Replicant. Kingdom of Amalur remake. He played Spider-Man in a played Doctor Strange in an animated Spider-Man show. He was in The Last of Us Part 2. He was in Gears Tactics. He was in Gears 5. He was in Darksiders. He was in Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. He was in Death Stranding. He was in Mario and Sonic at the fucking Olympics. He has been in a lot of games. So yeah, prolific.
He's everywhere.
Prolific voice actor right here. Yeah, nice. So do you have anything left to say on what was the name of it again? The Ruined King.
Yes, Ruined King. No, not really. I just, like I said, it is a very fun game. If you're a big League of Legends fan, and if you like RPGs, definitely it's a good recommendation.
Yep.
To play. But anything else? Not really. Like I said, big RPG fan, you would definitely like it.
Now, have you played enough to put a review score on it, you think? Or would you rather wait until you roll credits before?
I'll definitely give it a high number because I do know that the game is like mostly positive at the moment. Where is the store page? I'll create a quick look. It's very positive right now.
Yeah.
We're about close to 8,000 reviews, so definitely is high on that front.
Yeah, it's sitting at like 80% on OpenCritic as well too. So yeah, it seems like it's quite a well liked game. Yeah, 67% of critics recommend. So yeah, nice. The Ruined King, a League of Legends story. Yes. I guess if you like your League of Legends especially, and you're looking for a new RPG, it sounds like it would be a good route to go. You know, something else to expand that universe a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Bloody oath. Well, I've been playing a very different kind of game this week. I have been knee-deep in pussy. That's right. I've been playing Annapurna's new kitty cat game, Stray. Now, Stray, I have to say, when I first saw it, I was intrigued. It was like they showed it like the PS Plus event. It was ages ago now. I believe it was all the way back in, I believe it might have even been at the 2020 PlayStation event, or maybe it was the 2021. It was a long, long time ago. And I was like, oh, look, it looks interesting, but, you know, I'll have to wait and see more. And, you know, I saw a bit more gameplay and I thought, looks like it's very stealth based. It's not really going to be absolutely going to be my cup of tea. But yeah, the developer Blue 12 Studio. Who apparently this is their first game as well too. I think for me, they've absolutely knocked it out of the park with this one. Now, it's a weird game to describe. I'd say I'd have to call Stray like a walking simulator in a sense, where you play as a cat, But there is a lot. There is gameplay to it. There is a lot of puzzles and stuff that you can do, but it is very, very minimal gameplay. So my first reaction to when I started playing it was, there's no like it is X to jump, but there's no, you can't just jump whenever you'd like. There's no platforming essentially to it. It's just you go to a ledge and an X will appear and it will prompt you to be able to jump to that ledge. So only when the prompts appear are you able to do any jumping. And at first I was like, I'm not a fan of that. But then I realized, look, that's just not the route they're going. They're not interested in making a cat parkour game. That's not what they're doing. What you're doing is just exploring this environment. And I have been absolutely loving exploring the world of Stray. So the way it's sort of designed is you have these linear sections broken up by these sort of open level sections. Now, the linear sections have been very pretty and nice and so far like very, very simple to sort of get through. But the real fun for me was exploring these open levels where it's like this open, not like an open world, but like a level, I'd say, on the same size as maybe like a Dishonored level, you know, where there's lots of stuff to discover, but, you know, it's not going to take you hours upon hours. You can sort of explore every corner within an hour or something like that. But you're rewarded everywhere you look. So for people who don't know, in the world of Stray, basically, humans have disappeared. You don't know why. When you start the game, you end up being lost from your little kitty cat friends. You fall down a ravine and you end up getting stuck in this big walled city from which there is no escape. And you are trying to find your way out so you can get back to your kitty cat friends on the outside. So the world, the way they introduce the world to you is really interesting. Like you're starting off on your own and you know, getting lost and finding yourself in this big walled city. And eventually you finally come across some of the inhabitants of this city, which basically are these robots, that initially were just, there to just clean and whatnot. But after the humans disappeared, they've sort of developed personalities and now are basically, essentially the inhabitants of the world in Stray. And I absolutely love that. One of the things that has drawn me in the most about Stray has been the environmental storytelling. Rather than, obviously you're a cat, doesn't talk, so they can't just give you straight up exposition of what the cat's thinking. Instead, they use prompts from the environment to give you an understanding of what the cat's motivations are and what is supposed to be happening. That is until you start meeting some of the robots who do talk to you just in little dialogue boxes, and they all have their own interesting little personalities and whatnot, and I've found they've been fun to go up and meet. I'm really enjoying Stray. Have you got any interest in Stray at all, Moomay? Just to end my rant here.
I'm going on. I do have the game on my wish list on Steam, so okay. I definitely want to pick it up down the track. Yep. But I'm already like jam packed full of games that I've bought and not played yet. So
yeah, that's totally fair.
I don't want to buy another one to that backlog of games.
And look, I'd say Stray I've really enjoyed, but it's not one that I would recommend to everyone. Like, I remember messaging in the group chat saying that I have with Lockie and Aaron and Hunter and saying that I was really enjoying it. But I knew immediately when I said that it's not going to be Lockie's kind of game, because the gameplay is so minimal. Like, it's, press X to jump onto a ledge, press circle to meow. Which sometimes you will need to do for puzzles and stuff like that.
The game is very minimal when it comes to gameplay. So it's more about exploration and such.
Absolutely. Like, you can pick up items as well. I believe it's like square to pick up items, and it's only certain items that you can pick up. And then you can also, find collectibles and whatnot around the environment. But
I was watching one of my friends last night. She was playing the game. And she got up to a part where you can just like knock over cans and all that with your hand. I'm like,
yep,
that's a Blade Cat thing to do. No cat, no.
You can tell that this game is made by people who just have a real love for cats, because there is so much personality in the cat that you play as. They do such a great job with all the animations. You know, you can go up to the robots and nuzzle along their leg. or you can, you know, obviously you have the meow button, or as you said, knocking the paint cans off, or you can go up to certain objects and scratch on them. You can find spots to nap in, and there's even trophies that are tied to doing silly cat stuff as well too. Like one trophy which I've got was I had to find a napping spot and leave the game for an hour to nap in real time. And funnily enough, I'm playing on the PlayStation 5, which, just a heads up, Mume, if you do get it on PC, I heard the PC version isn't the best optimized. At least for now, they could fix it up later on down the track. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, luckily I'm not going to buy it now, so I'm like, I don't mind them making a better experience for me.
Absolutely, and I imagine they will too, because this game has been super popular. Apparently, it's Annapurna's biggest release yet. What was I just talking about though? I forgot what I was.
you got way too distracted by the cat.
I got distracted. What else can you do that the kitty cats can do? Oh yeah, so basically I had to put down the controller and nap for an hour in real time, like in real life time for an hour. So, and basically, because I'm playing on the PlayStation 5, it uses the haptics and the speaker in the controller. So when your cat's napping, it will make the controller vibrate when it purrs, and you'll hear the purring come through the controller as well too. I just had it there in the background while I ate dinner. I was watching a show, and I could just hear my controller sitting next to me just purring softly. It was super bizarre.
Yeah,
I could have turned the sound and stuff off the controller or whatever, but I couldn't be bothered to do that for just an hour. But yeah, that was a cool idea to get a trophy. And later on, there was a moment where there was a couple of the robots playing some game. I think it might have been Scrabble. And then I noticed, oh, there's a prompt. I can jump up on that table. And I jumped onto the table. The Scrabble parts went everywhere. The robots looked very pissed off. And then I got a trophy called Catastrophe. So, yeah, you got to love a good cat-based pun.
Yeah. I just had a quick look at the Steam version of Stray. Mm. It's currently sitting at 97% overwhelming positive.
Oh, dang. So people are really enjoying it. Stray.
Yeah, with a total of 34,135 votes, reviews.
Far out. And look, for me, I'm definitely into the positive side. And I was ready, I wouldn't say I was ready not to enjoy it, but I didn't have high expectations for Stray at all, and it's left me very pleasantly surprised. I'm loving the environmental storytelling, the way you sort of figure out what happens to the city just as you explore the city. The puzzles are super simple. Sometimes I accidentally solve them before I even get up to knowing that there's a puzzle coming up. There'll be like, you know, some fan that is going and you have to remove a battery to stop it, and I'm like, oh, okay, well I already did that when I was walking up just exploring everything. But yeah, I'm going to go for the platinum or the catnum for this one. 100%, I'm in. Just because I love the game so much. And there's a couple of trophies there that are a little bit annoying. Like, I've got to beat the game in under 2 hours. But, you know, I'm in. I'm going to platinum Stray for sure. So I might end up doing the under 2 hour run on stream at some point. So I can get that out of the road and pop the platinum there live on stream. But yeah, Stray definitely has its claws into me. I'm really enjoying it. I'm nearly finished. I don't think I have much left to go at all. But I'm taking way longer than most people because I've been exploring. Obviously, as I mentioned, I'm going for the platinum. So I've been exploring every inch. I've nearly collected all the different memories and whatnot. Stray, if you love cats, is a no-brainer. It is absolutely adorable, and even if you're not much of a gamer, the gameplay is very simple. And even if you're not, like I like cats, but I'm not, like, you know, cat crazy like I am dog crazy. Even if not, if you enjoy visual storytelling, you're not expecting too much out of the gameplay. You know, you just want a simple yet interesting story with a very interesting environment and concept to it as well, with lots of cutesiness to it. I think Stray is a no-brainer for you, and you're going to have a bloody good time. Oh, and yeah, shout out to Aaron, who mentioned as well too that if you die 9 times, you get a trophy for that as well. It pops up saying, oh, you're out of lives, which I love that. It's absolutely fantastic. So Stray, if you have PS Plus Extra, is available for you to download. So I think PS Plus Extra for 1 month is like, it's around like between $17 and $20 or something like that. So
I think
it's
like 18.
That's 18. There you go.
Yeah,
perfect.
I think 18 so, for extra.
And it's not going to take you a full month to play Stray, and you can also try some of the other stuff they have in their catalog, which if you're new to the PlayStation ecosystem, I think there's a lot in there you would like to sink your teeth into. But yeah, Stray, like $18 is a perfect price for it. I'd say paying $50 for it, which I think is what the full price is on the PlayStation Store right now, for me, I think would be too much. Even as much as I've enjoyed the game, it's just incredibly short. And there's not much to it, so I'd say, yeah, you're probably not going to want to pay full price for that. I'd say if it comes down to around like $20, maybe even $30, if it sounds really interesting to you, I'd say it's worth forking out the money for. But yeah, if you're on PlayStation, definitely, you know, get, or if you've got the 7-day free trial in the UK, and if you're in the UK or Europe, that's fucking perfect. You could play through the entirety of Stray, get the platinum, and do it for free because you have the service for free for a week. So, yeah, I definitely recommend Stray. And once I finish it, as of next week, I'll have a review score for everyone. But I've got a feeling it's going to be it's going to be sitting around the 8.5 kind of level out of 10.
Yeah. A good recommendation, though, is to play it when your cats are watching. Apparently, they actually enjoy watching Stray.
That's amazing.
Because I've been... So, as I watch a lot of the highlight reels. It used to be the Kotaku highlight reels before they became independent. And they showed off some Stray videos where, like, people seeing their cats, like, next to their TV watching the cat going... So, if you have a cat... And you play Stray, I would recommend you having your cat watch it as well. They will have fun watching.
Funnily enough, I was checking out my Twitch channel earlier today and had a whole bunch of people actually streaming Stray. Even Amaranth, people, a lot of thirsty lads and ladies out there would be familiar with who Amaranth is streaming Stray right now in a cat ears and a bikini. So if you want to see Stray played by a sexy cat, people are just on board. People are just loving it, and it's really good to see. Really bloody good to see. But enough on Stray. We can let that stray cat go. Moomay, what else have you been playing, my friend?
Next one I will pop up right now would be that I just started playing a game called Cloudpunk, which I picked up for about $10 on Steam.
Okay.
On the last day of the last day of the summer sale. I think Summer Sale? No, Winter Sale.
Now, is this a cyberpunk game? Is this a cyberpunk Final Fantasy crossover where Cloud is in cyberpunk and it's all going down? He's finally going to show his penis for Lockie.
Oh, he's dying to see that giant sword of his.
There's dick sliders in cyberpunk, so if Cloud was in cyberpunk, I'm sure he would not only be able to see Cloud, he'd be able to decide how big it was for him.
Hey, give it time. It's been out for a while. I'm sure they have a mod for Cloud. Sure, make an appearance in the game.
There's at the very least some Rule 34 out there for Lockie to Google, that's for sure. Sorry, Mume. So yeah, Cloudpunk. What is it?
Okay, so far I only played like about an hour of it, but it looks like you play as like a delivery driver of some sort. And I don't know much about the story at the moment. Because like I said, I just only started playing it yesterday.
Yep.
So, so the graphics is kind of... All the characters are blocky. I wouldn't say Minecraft blocky, but they're not like highly detailed. So it's like low polygon graphics. But the game is like very... But it runs very smooth and such, so it's very nice.
What genre of game is it though? Is it like an RPG? What are we talking?
To tell you the truth, I have no idea.
Oh, holy shit! You're an hour in, you don't know what genre it is. Oh damn, that must be some weird. Like, what kind of gameplay are you doing?
So yeah, it's I just had a quick look on the actual on the site. It's pretty much the tag is cyberpunk, open world, sci-fi, atmospheric. I can't even say it.
That sounds almost like what I'd call Stray, to be honest. Interesting.
Yeah, but the idea is that you play as a human and you're delivering parcels, packages to clients of some sort. So you'll get a call from Control, and what they will do is that they say, go to this destination, pick something up, and then go to the client where you're dropping off the parcel.
And then it's a strand type game.
Anyways, yeah. but less desolated.
Does your character look at the camera and drink Monster Energy drinks all the time?
No, like I said, the characters are too blocky, so...
Oh, you couldn't make out the monster symbol.
It's kind of cool that you can able to switch through first, as well as, like, a fixed camera angle. So you can, like, it will move the camera to, like, it looks like a side-scroller.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to look this up because I'm trying to picture like first person blocky and it's making me just think of like the old Doom games kind of a thing. Is that what the environments are looking like or?
It's very cyberpunkish. It literally says here, a neon noir story in a rain-drenched cyberpunk metropolis. It's your first night on a job working for a cloudpunk delivery service. Two rules, don't miss a delivery and don't ask what's in the package.
Okay. Oh, so, yeah, oh, it's definitely not... Oh, shit, sorry. I'll turn the sound off on this YouTube video. Apologies. Apologies, listeners. So, I wouldn't say... Like, so it's blocky, but sort of, very much the Minecraft style where it's you know, you still have your beautiful lighting effects and that kind of stuff. Oh, that is absolutely gorgeous. That is stunning. The city looks absolutely beautiful. I'd recommend our listeners going and checking out some gameplay of it. Holy shit.
I think you can able to check out, because while looking at it, I was like, that's pretty cool. I saw a friend play it on her stream. I'm like, okay, I'm going to pick it up and try it out.
Okay, nice. So how have you found the story so far? So I'm guessing that's the main part of it really must be the narrative if all you're doing is driving around delivering packages.
Yeah. I haven't been long enough into the game to know the story much about it.
Okay.
As I said, I'm just doing deliveries and all that, and like you're starting hearing conversations with your like managers and all that over the comms, and some of them, like a lot of them, are kind of like sus, a bit suspicious kind of thing.
Okay.
So they're talking about it, it's like. It's like, oh, like, what's in the package? No, rule number two, never talk about the package.
Never ask what's inside. So you're starting to get hints of something more sinister.
Yeah, because Cloudpunk is actually the name of the delivery service you are.
Oh.
And apparently they're notorious for, like delivering bad things.
Okay. So, yeah, because I'm having a look at how long to beat right now. It's saying it's sitting at around between 9 to 12 hours. So, yeah, you'd just be at the part where they're probably laying the base down for the rest of the story and setting everything up for later on. Interesting. And this is on all platforms now. It's on Nintendo Switch, PS4, PS5, everything. I'm fascinated. I'm interested just based on like a few seconds of gameplay. So is that all the gameplay comes down to? Literally just driving to somewhere and just dropping off a package, or is there moments where they add a bit more to it?
It's what I see so far. I'm sure there's a lot of things to do. There are collectibles you can pick up.
Okay.
Like it'll pop up on the map and be like, just run to that location and pick up the items.
Yep. What about puzzles or something? Anything like that?
I haven't been that part yet, so I don't know if they have them or not.
Okay. How have you found the music and the sound to be so far? It looks like one of those ones where it'd probably have a banging soundtrack.
I think I only heard like one or two songs, which is like just like your synth wave or like 80s style like techno music or...
Okay. Damn, right now it's sitting... if you're going to buy this one on PS4, I'm guessing it's the same version for PS5. I can only find one version here. It's on special right now if you're a PS Plus member for $10.80 instead of $30. Would you say that it'd be a worthwhile buy at that price? Yeah, $10, not too bad. It looks it looks super pretty, and I'd be very curious to see how the story would play out. So where you've played so far, there hasn't been any puzzles or anything like that. It's literally just been get package from here, put it over there.
Yes.
Okay. See, that turned me off when it came to Death Stranding, but Death Stranding is like 50 or 60 hours and it has cutscenes in it that apparently go for like an hour to 2 hours, some of them. So
that's Kojima.
Exactly. And that's enough for me to be like, nope, this dude does not give two shits about my time at all. But whereas like, you know, if it's something with a simple story and this sort of chill kind of gameplay, which... since I went down the From Software rabbit hole playing lots of those brutally difficult games, I've appreciated having a few palate cleansers at the moment, just a simple, easier experience. And this looks very, very chill. Is there time limits for delivering the packages or anything, or is it just go as you need?
Yeah, it doesn't look like it. So what I've got gone through.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm very curious to hear what else you have to say about like Cloudpunk later on down the track, because something like this hinges so much on the story. If the story doesn't play out well, then you know what is there to it. But it seems like the reviews have been quite good for it. Like yeah, I think what was it sitting on Metacritic? I believe it was like 73%. It's not amazing. That's on PC. Or even less on PS4. It's like 64%. But, oof, you know, that's fucking Metacritic. It's not always right. The user score is higher, though, as well. Sitting at a nice 6.9. Oh, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. Have you got anything left to say on Cloudpunk?
Not at the moment. I wish I can play more game that can give you better impressions.
Oh, dude, no.
Not at the moment.
You brought Cloudpunk to my attention, so that's good enough right there. That's absolutely fantastic. I love the art style. And something, if you say you enjoy Cloudpunk, then I'll pick that up on PS4 for sure. Because it looks
it's just a pretty game.
Yeah, well, it looks like it'd be a real chill game and probably a chill platinum. I wouldn't imagine the platinum would be too hard on that one. And I'm always looking for more platinums, that's for sure.
Now it says like, oh, now first you had my attention. Now you got my curiosity.
Oh, yeah. And just like with Stray, curiosity killed the cat, but not with me. Curiosity gets me the platinums. Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot to mention with Stray before too, by the way. This is going to be very disjointed for all our listeners, but the soundtrack is absolutely banging. It's fucking lovely and atmospheric, and I really, really like it. The sound is done fantastic in Stray. The lighting...
It slaps better than Will Smith. Too old now?
Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth.
Fuck. Oh, just the memes I saw from that. Especially the Dark Souls ones. They're the best ones.
Oh, dear. We've had... What a start to the year that we had as far as pop culture goes with the Will Smith slap and the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. My God. I don't think we've had a top-heavy pop culture focus year like this in a very long time. I don't know how we could ever top it. But yeah, I don't know how we could top this though, Mume. This was a super fun episode. Thank you so much for joining us this week on News to Reviews.
Likewise.
How'd you find that? A bit easier than having to revive me over and over again in Returnal?
You got something reminding me of that.
Well, I'm glad even though I frustrated you so much, Mume, you still...
But there were times that it's like, okay, I revive you and like, I show you how it's done and I die too.
No, man, it's on me. you're versing more difficult bosses because it scales for two people. I need to pull my weight. But yeah, Mume, you more than pulled your weight as a guest. That was so much fun. Thank you for bringing the impressions on these games. I've ever come across.
I do have a lot of more games to talk about, but like I said, you wanted to keep it short.
Oh my God. Yeah, exactly right. Yeah, we're at that sweet spot right now. But Mume, don't you worry. We will get you back on the show again at some point down the track for sure. But before we go, can you please remind everyone where they can find all the wonderful content that you put out onto the internet?
Okay, let's have, now if I remember how what I have to say. So yeah, of course, I am most likely I stream three times a week during the weekdays, and I sometimes like to stream once a week on the weekend. So Mume101, as I mentioned before at the start of the podcast. You can also find me on my socials, which I don't often use them as much since the social media is now just kind of like dog shit these days. Like nothing but ads and sponsorships and I don't
fucking hate social media.
I know, I hate it as well. But yeah, you can follow me on my socials as on Instagram, Mume101, where you can find out my my cosplay photography work. Give me a quick second. I can tell you my other one because I do not remember it. You can also find me on noname_photography_88, and that will be my non-cosplay photos, which is more like casual modeling type of photos. or you can find me on my Mume101_gaming, which is going to be my streaming and all that. So I like to post on there every now and then to say that, okay, I'm streaming. Come pass by and say hi, and hopefully no bots telling me, come promote this on this channel. I'm like, fuck off.
Oh, yeah. Every time I post about streaming on Twitch and I do a hashtag Twitch or live stream or whatever, guaranteed. Promoted on something wreck. Oh, I'm not going to say the name because fuck them. The pieces of shit. Anyway. But yeah, everyone, check out Mume's stuff. He is an incredibly talented streamer and photographer. It's all fantastic stuff. All the links will be in the description of the podcast down below. And you can find the descriptions to all of our stuff, our Facebook, our Twitter, our Instagram as well too. Twitter's the best place to keep track of everything that News to Reviews is doing. Our Twitter handle is at News to Reviews, and that's with a number 2 instead of the word 2. I'm continuing streaming until dawn at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Standard Time, twitch.tv/news2reviews. Come join in for that. Oh, and if you can, even if you cannot make one of our streams, if you have a Twitch account, if you can pretty please give the News to Reviews Twitch account a follow, I'll thank you very much, because we are one follow away now from finally being able to make affiliates, and then I'll be able to rest my head into Jeff Bezos' gorgeous and warm fuzzy bosom and enjoy his sweet, sweet sustenance from his nip-nips. And I'm very excited about that, as you can hear in how I've described it. And if you like that description of Jeff Bezos and his warm, fuzzy nip-nips, then please leave us a rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening to the show. And I know Lockie already gave his words of wisdom, but I'm just still going to take this opportunity to do some words of wisdom from me. Therapy. I'm in it and I fucking love it. If you are struggling at all, and even if you're not struggling, I think therapy is something that every person on this planet can benefit from. If you're in Australia, you can get up to 20 free visits with a psychologist a year, and I very much recommend utilizing that if you can, because it has definitely helped me in my life at the moment, and it's helping me keep on top of everything. Mume, do you have any words of wisdom you wanna steal Lockie's thunder here like I have for a moment?
I'll make it plain and simple. Don't be a jerk and get good.
Absolutely. That's another way of saying my sign off is just saying don't be a jerk. Because yeah, everyone out there, please take care of yourselves and take care of one another.